So, the title of our sermonic moment today is When Pigs Fly. When Pigs Fly. And that's a phrase that we say to indicate that we don't believe something will happen. We say it when we, because it's impossible to, for pigs to fly. So when someone is saying this, they are indicating that they don't believe that what you are saying is going to occur. So a child may say, I wake up early. I'm going to wake up early and clean my room. And their sibling will say, when pigs fly. Or the historic person that is a wallflower in a social setting will say, at the next party, I'm going to get up and dance. To which their friends will say, when pigs fly. Can you help me? Can you help me? I'm going to give a statement. When I point to y'all, I just want y'all to say, when pigs fly. Can y'all do that? Oh, help me, y'all. Can y'all do that?
Yes.
All right. Okay. I'll become a morning person. I'll stop procrastinating. I'll win the lottery. Some of y'all said, I ain't saying that to that one. The gas company will lower their prices. I will obey the speed limit at all times. Don't get quiet. I've seen some of y'all drive. I'll just eat one chip and I'll close the bag. See, if we apply this mindset to our lives, it's countercultural to our faith. And things changing and things turning around, because the opposite of when pigs fly is the demeanor of this. Do you believe in miracles? This belief that wondrous things can occur that go outside of the natural order of things. And when they do, they can only point back to God. So this time when I say a phrase, I want you to say, do you believe in miracles? When people are healed after the doctor says no. When natural disasters are averted and stretched, or when help comes just in the nick of time. When mindsets and minds are changed and people who were bound are now set free. And this series will land us in the middle of challenging skepticism. My God, I wasn't saying it then, but bless you. When it comes to issues in our lives, with the knowledge that we have access to a God who specializes in the impossible. And this text will deal with the delivering power of God through Jesus Christ when things are happening to us. And the saving power of Christ when things are happening inside of us. And we're not here to argue whether or not pigs can fly, but we are here to say that our God is able. Our first point is, save me from what's going on around me. Save me from what's going on around me. Starting at Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25, it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out, and they sailed and fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Jesus had just finished instructing the people using parables, which are stories used to teach a moral lesson. He compares the word of God to seeds, and the health of your heart will determine what kind of crop you produce. God can do miracles if I have a willing spirit, but my stubbornness can block my blessing. So don't shut off your chance at being a miracle because you're stuck in your ways. He talks about our light and our lives that are supposed to reflect the goodness of God in the earth. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. His family shows up and he confirms that in the kingdom of God, family is not just determined by blood, but by those who decide to hear the word and do the word. And after teaching like a good teacher, Jesus needs a break. Jesus needs a prep period. Jesus needs some time away. Because he has another class to teach on the boat and on the next shoreline. Let the church say, uh-oh. He says, let's go to the other side of the lake. And in the process of doing what God says, they hit a storm. Jesus, help me with what's going on around me. In the midst of being obedient, they are on the lake. A storm comes up. The weather started getting rough. A tiny ship was tossed. Jesus, help me with what's going on around me. The disciples tried to make it work on their own. They tried to make it through this storm. They tried to get to the other side, but it was way too much. And before things got worse, they went to Jesus and said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. We'll make it out of this one when pigs fly, unless you save us right now. And on this Easter Sunday, we celebrate a risen Savior, but we also celebrate the ability of God, the ability of Christ, the ability of the Holy Spirit to step in right on time to deliver us from what's happening around us, from environments that are rough from us, for situations that are overwhelming us and beginning to take us over. Psalm 91 says this, He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. The Lord will make a way. Acts 2:21 says, And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord will make a way. And is there a witness in the house of this 9:30 service that says this truth? I called on God and he answered. I went to God and he showed up. He was faithful to deliver me out of it. The Holy Spirit kept me comfort. God saved me from what's going on around me. Let me come a little bit closer. A good coach or a good teacher will not pull you out of the trouble, but will help you while you're going through. Okay. How many educators do I have in here? How many educators? First of all, don't hide the hands because I know you when I see you. And you dreading going back to school because I know, like, right. So a good teacher will assist you in the troubled times and guide you through the troubled times. They're always by your side, but they let you build up the stamina to do what is necessary. They don't always pull you out of the fire, but they're with you in the fire. The good teacher also won't just pass you with an A because they like you. Because they know if they just pass you along, you won't get better or learn the perseverance you need for the next stage of your life. So when you look back on your life, the good teachers were the ones that were hard on you, but that stayed with you, that were rough with you, but that really, really loved you. When you saw that at the end of the day, this is how God is treating us. God is the best coach I can possibly have. In the middle of my storm, he doesn't let me go. In the middle of my storm, he doesn't let me take me out. Now he'll let the rains fall, he'll let the winds blow to show me how much I need him, but he makes me stay in it so I can give him praise when I come out of it. Is there a witness in the house today that God, I'm grateful that you are the best kind of coach I could have? But then let me argue this point. The disciples on the boat have enough of Christ moving in the lives of others to trust Jesus while they're in their storm right now. Previously in chapter 7, they saw a centurion's woman healed. They saw a widow's son raised. They saw a woman break an expensive piece of perfume to pour it on Jesus to grow closer and closer to him. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is why I need you. Turn to another one that you like. Say, this is why I need you. But watch this. Because your story gives me hope. Your victory gives me a chance. Your worship inspires me not to be silent in my praise. So she's not here today because she's a little bit under the weather. But you know what? Harriet gives us hope. Because when Harriet walks around here and she's smiling, she lets me know there's hope for a better future. You know who else gives us hope? Brother Sean, who just started being our greeter, gives us hope. That brother comes up here, he's greeting and he's worshiping. He gives us hope. You know who else gives me hope? Sister Tara gives me hope. Because even though she's taking care of a friend, she still does not let that stop her praise. You know who else gives me hope? Brother Kenyon gives me hope. Because you wouldn't know it, but he just recently said goodnight to his father-in-law. But when he's up here, he's making sure he's making the most of his chance to glorify the name of the Lord. I can go through my storm if I can look at you and see you making it. Can you give God some praise today for your neighbor? I watched you go through it. That's what I can go through it. I watched you make it. That's what I can make it. But I know we just praise, and I want to challenge you real quick, because I want to talk to the person who's not just upset that the storm is in your life, but you're upset or you're embarrassed because you're frustrated because the storm is in a place of your expertise. Some of the disciples on the boat were skilled fishermen. They would know that the Sea of Galilee was a rough lake. And his location was subject to violent storm. But Jesus sends them out. And instead of immediately going to Jesus and going where he was sleeping, they tried to fix it themselves. What frustrates us is that the storm that we are facing, we think we should be able to conquer it. Because we've been here before. And we've been successful here in the past. God launched you out to be a parent. And you've been a good parent up to this season. But now there's a storm. And your children are more challenging than they were in the past. God said yes to heaven, you having your own business, but now there's a storm. You were successful, but now the workers with you can't see the vision and you got to let some folks go. God said yes to the church. God said yes to the relationship. God said yes to everything, but now there's a storm and that storm is kicking you from shoreline to shoreline. And what do I do when I feel like I should be able to handle it, but I can't? Who do you run to when it rains and you have the self-expectation that I can get out of this storm on my own? Stop fighting the storm and start leaning on God. One more time. Stop fighting the storm and start leaning on God. I didn't say phone or text a friend. I didn't say have a temper tantrum. I didn't say jump ship. I didn't say don't do anything and be resigned to drown in this season, because maybe God has allowed this season of deep water for you to lean not on your expertise, but on his power. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. The storm is too much. I need a miracle. Call on God. The pressure is too great. I need a miracle. Call on God. I've come to the end of myself. I'm unsure which way to go. Call on God. But I'm supposed to handle this on my own. No, you're not. God created you for the community of the church and for interdependence on him. And Jesus is asking you, what took you so long to pick up the phone and come and call on me? God is able to deal with the atmosphere as long as I'm actively going to him. And if you believe that, why don't you give God some praise in this time? The second point is, God, save me from what's going on inside of me. Let the church say, God, save me from what's going on inside of me. I'm starting at verse 26, and it says, they sailed to a region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. From a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to, don't torture me." But Jesus commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chain and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Because many times, the toughest battles aren't with the atmospheric pressure going on around us, but it's the inward struggles we face day in and day out. God, save me from what's happening inside of me. Jesus and the disciples come out of a storm. Jesus calms things down. And we're now getting off the boat at the Gerasenes. And as soon as they step onto the shore, there's a man who's in need of deliverance because there's something happening inside of him. He is demon-possessed, meaning a spiritual entity has taken hold of him and is the controlling factor in his life and in his decision-making. God, help me with what's going on inside of me. And because of what's going on with this man, his clothes are torn. He can't live at home. He's made his bed in the area of the dead. The spirit has seized him, and people, in an attempt not to save him but save themselves, they tried chaining him. They tried keeping him bound, but the controlling party in his life has caused him to break out the human chains and go to places alone. Can I challenge you on this Easter Sunday, on the celebration of the resurrection of Christ? I want you to soften your view on this man in the text, because we are not too far from his condition. We can't look at this man sideways and not admit that there are some things going on with us. Not the errant interpretation of possession that Hollywood gives us. But we can't look at this man and not ask some questions about what's going on inside of me. What about the sadness that I can't shake? What's going on inside of me? What about the depression that washes over me periodically, even after my best day? What's going on inside of me? What about the spirit of anger that's bubbling right beneath the surface that nobody knows about? What's going on inside of me? What about the overcompensation because you still don't believe that you're enough? What about the poverty mentality that keeps you in a scarcity mindset so much so that you're afraid to dream and afraid to love? Or the works righteousness attitude that says, I can earn God's grace if I do enough. I can judge others for what they aren't doing. And if I'm not trying to be more like Jesus, I'm just trying to perform for God. Wow. And like this man, folks can't get close to us because the enemy is in control. Like this man, we are emotionally disheveled. Like this man, we are existing in the tombs of our existence, and things have gotten so bad that we stop believing that God can do anything to change our situation. The winds and the waves we can handle because they're happening to us. But what about what's going on inside of us? The internal struggle and the battle for our souls and our minds. On Easter Sunday, I can shout you real quick and say this: Jesus is one prayer away. But if I look at the text, the demon is speaking. The man isn't asking anything. I could say that the disciples, like the man, should go where Jesus is. But Jesus is the one who showed up. And it's not about the work that the man is doing. And this is where the grace of God shows up. And the presence and the power of God is enough to call out what is inside of me and call it out of me. This is not a scripture that presses the idea of human agency, which means I have the capacity to analyze my situation and fix what's going on. Where if I say it, I see it. Where if I believe it and I call on the Lord, then things will get done. In some biblical scenarios, this is the case. This is a state of emergency. Where there is such an advanced case of what's going inside of me that I need the power of God to show up in my life. It's not based on my movement. It's not based on my prayers. It's not based on my denomination. It ain't based on the law of attraction. It's not based on who I know. It's not based on how hard I pray or how loud I shout. It's not based on my worship. This is solely based on the sovereignty of God, the love of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit showing up in my time of need. This is a when pigs fly situation, because the only thing that could deliver this man from what's going on inside of him is a miracle. And is there anybody in here who can testify? Watch this. I couldn't pray enough. I couldn't come to church enough. I couldn't fast enough. I couldn't put on the right clothes. I couldn't do the right church and knee stuff. The only thing that saved my life was the power of Jesus. Let me tap this thing, because I know it's Resurrection Sunday, and I'm supposed to say, if you pray hard enough, he'll show up, or if you do this that way, he'll answer. But have you been in the place where there was nothing you can do? Oh, get in trouble. You couldn't go to enough services. They put enough oil on you that you look like butter popcorn, and nothing changed. The only thing that changed, God, you showed up right on time. I want to set somebody free today. You about works righteousness. Let me free you from that today. It's not your fault either. The enemy has decided to choose you. You just got to be at the right place in the right time. And that's right where you are. And when he stepped on the shore, the enemy knew, oh, I'm in trouble. The man didn't cry out. Jesus showed up. If that's your testimony, give God a praise this morning. He showed up in my life. Oh, let me help the... I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peace, very deeply sank within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my... I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. Yes, Lord, I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. This is where we are. It's not about what I can do, what I can work, what I can move. When pigs fly, save me from what's going inside of me, because I can't save myself. I can't move this mountain. The child said, ew, that's right. That's a real ill feeling. When you're trying to fix it and you can't fix it. And the only thing that you can do is wait on God to deliver. You want to know why some people pray so hard? It ain't because of what we did. It's because of what he did. We pray so hard because of that cross for us is real. We knew where we were post-meeting him. And we can't look at that man with any kind of jaundice because we know we had some stuff going on inside of us. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, his holiness, don't worry about our nastiness. If it wasn't for the sacrifice of Jesus making us accessible to take the sin off of us. And some of us know that even post that moment, was this when we sang that song, he's not done with me yet. We loved it because it pointed to the arc of things getting better. But how many of us know he's not done with me yet because there's still some stuff inside of me that he got to get. Uh-oh. I hope y'all come back next week. The text ends with the man seated, clothed, and in his right mind. Maybe he had on a double-breasted jacket and a pink shirt. I'm not sure. And it also said that there was a testimony that went out. Some people were afraid. They told Christ to leave. The man goes to his home because he wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus knew that his testimony would be better to go back to his family. And tell his family, I'm changed. On this day, we celebrate that cross. We celebrate that empty tomb. Because we know the only thing that could have saved us was a miracle. We know the only thing that could have made a way was a resurrection. We know the only thing that continues to keep making a way is the presence of the Comforter leading us and guiding us every step of the way. If you believe that, why don't you give God some praise?